Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Gonna kind of not do the collector segment for a while because I haven't been intaking a lot of comics, and I forgot to record a bunch of them when I bought like two short boxes of old issues. And I usually record them before I archive them, and I archived them first, so I'm not going to go re-archive them or undo them and then record them. So, and plus I'm on another kick. I go through a lot of phases, and right now I am really, really, really into collected editions. Like really bad. And I worked really hard to build up my epic collection to contain almost everything. I think I'm missing two early Avengers, even though I have them in omnibus format. I do want to get those two epic collections, and I think I'm missing one or two of the Star Wars epic collections, and I've worked over the holidays to get those. I still have a few of to go on the and other than that, I think I have almost every single epic collection that's been published, which I am really happy to have because those are amazing. And then they so those got kind of like got into my wheelhouse. I've always gotten the collected editions for the deluxe format for Valiant and the paperbacks. I'm still triple dipping on those, and I will continue to do that. And then I'm doing a lot of the Batman trades and a lot of other stuff. Like just this last week, Daryl was talking about one of my favorite runs of Justice League of America, JLA. And it wasn't the Morrison one, and it wasn't the Mark Waid. I know they have seminal stories, stories that are very important. But when Joe Kelly took over, I like really fell in love with the book. And there's two volumes of Joe Kelly, and I picked those up, and I actually picked up another one accidentally because I thought it was still Joe Kelly, but it was this one has, let's see. So 6 and 7 are the Joe Kelly volumes. So I have those in singles, but I love the story so much that I want to have them on the shelf just because I know I will refer to them over and over again. I really love what they do with Plaz. I really love just the his whole storytelling with this team. And volume 8 I got, which is Chris Claremont and John Byrne. I totally forgot about that run. And then we have Chuck Austin. And I don't remember much about that, but I look forward to it because it looks like it has the Justice League Elite, which I really love. I am looking into buying the Justice League Elite trades, which is the books that the companion books that Joe Kelly wrote. And they're available in used condition, and those are cheap, and I would like to pick those up just so I have them on the shelf. So I've been on this collected edition craze, and I'll probably continue on it for a while. Usually I get them through DCBS. I'll pre-order everything, but I am getting some back issue ones or ones that I didn't jump on board with that I've been enjoying. I also got a collection from Donny Salvo, which I want to thank. He sent me some of his loose independent comics. I had some of them, but the majority of them I didn't have. Like there's a Joshua Hay Falalkov Echoes number one. This title I can't even read because the font is weird. It's from First Comics. Let's see what this is. Squalor number one. Never read that, so that's new to me. We have a Dr. Chaos Unleashed number one. This is I've talked about these in the past. This is from Triumphant Comics, where they actually this happened like towards the tail end of Valiant and when Malibu Ultraverse was hot. Triumphant Comics tried to get a niche market where they cater to sci-fi readers. So their books tend to be sci-fi, and they try to cater to the, the collector mentality, because this was still when the speculator market was going, and they put numbers on the comics. So like this print run was 3,200. No, 32,000. Sorry, that 3,200 would have been a really low print run, but it's very realistic in today's market to have a 3,200 print run if you go to the tail end of the sales chart towards, there's not that much printed once you're in the 300s. So that would be realistic in today's market, but back then, 32,000 comics of Dr. Chaos Unleashed existed, and I have 966 of that. So that was kind of like their event where they had their titles go unleashed, kind of had a crossover of some sort. We have Secret Files. This publisher I never even heard of. It looks like Mike Diodato art in the cover, but it's black and white. It doesn't even have a publisher name on it, so I don't know what it is. That's one I've never seen before. It's called Secret Files FBI Conspiracy Number 1 for Mature Readers. This might be one of those independents that never came through Diamond. I don't know. We have a Crossfire Number 4. I have most of the Eclipse Comics, Crossfire, and DNA Agents. But what got me into the Crossfire and DNA Agents were these little black and white digest trades. I don't remember who the publisher was, but I bought them. I think I ordered them through previews, and I read them and I was like, man, these comics are great. As Mark Evanier, and this was Dan Spiegel on art, and I went and eBayed because it was easy at the time to go full run on Crossfire and DNA Agents. Even though DNA Agents was pretty successful, it had a lot of volumes. And then I don't have any of these. This is the I do have Now Comics, but mostly the Green Hornet, Married with Children, and a few others. But this was the Ralph Snart Adventures. I follow him on Twitter now, Ralph Snart. But it's my first Ralph Snart comic. The artist is pretty crazy. Looks very interesting. Matter of fact, there's ads in the comic for Green Hornet and Speed Racer. They also did Fright Night, and as much as I love that series, I think I may only own one copy of Fright Night. And they did the Twilight Zone as well. I'm not sure I own any of those. Real Ghostbusters. So Now Comics was kind of popular back in the day. I have a Kimiko Grendel. You may be surprised to hear this, but I don't know a lot about Grendel. I know everybody loves Grendel. He's well thought of. I mostly know Grendel through his Batman team-ups. And when he went to Dark Horse, I think I may have gotten two volumes of the mini series. And he also sent me, I already had this one. This is one of my favorite covers. It's one of those enhanced covers back in the 90s. It's like has elevated graphics, like 3D graphics on the cover. So if you feel it, you could like feel his rib cage and his fingers and such. But it's one of the protectors getting shot with a bullet hole. And the thing this protector's number 5 had, this is what got me into Malibu Comics, where protectors, Dinosaur for Hire. Man, I can't think of that other series. There's another series, X Mutants. Those three comics I actually like became addicted to, and Protectors spawned out a lot of series like Gravestone, Airman, Arrow, a bunch of the characters. That I think a lot of these characters were public domain characters that they wrote in these comics. But this was before, right before Ultraverse blew up. And Malibu started, de-emphasizing their other lines because they had other lines. They even had a black and white line, if I remember correctly. But this is a really cool comic. We have a Bravura line. This is a Malibu. I don't think I have many of their lines. These were creator-owned lines. I think I need to still finish some of the. I said that I had the entire run Ultraverse. I do have the Ultraverse. I have all the Protectors, all of those X-Mutants and Dinosaurs for Hire, but I think I need to be complete, I need to finish this line. So this is issue 6 of The Breed, the second volume. And then he sent me from 12 gauge. It's weird. 12 gauge, when they were publishing, I was really into them. Matter of fact, it's where, if you guys are reading Loose Ends from Image Comics now, I don't know if you know this, but it was released first from 12 gauge comics. And I had the original Loose Ends, and it only went 1 through 3 and never finished. So now they're publishing it as an Image comic, and I was like on the fence, should I rebuy all these ones that I already have from another company, even though it's got an Image logo on it? And I decided I was just gonna buy number 4 because I've already read the other ones. But in case you didn't know that, Loose Ends was already a series. So that's all I have on the opening segment. I will now get into the weekly reads. I have been really behind and delinquent on this, so there's just been so much going on. Every time I have intention to do this, something happens. But it's really hard for me to find time to podcast and read, like read as much as I do. And I've been getting into like exercising more, and when I exercise, I'm watching like The Batman, which I've never seen before, which is an animated show I'm actually loving. But here we go. This is for August 29th, 2016 through September 4th, 2016. If I don't watch it and catch up, I'm going to lap myself. I'm going to do 2 weeks because this week it seems like I didn't read crap. I don't know what happened. But it seems like maybe I was traveling to Baltimore. I don't know when that was. But I read Wrath of Eternal Warrior number 8. It was a 5 out of 5. And Wrath of Eternal Warrior, ever since the first arc, I didn't care for the first arc. I was kind of bored and I thought it was slow. And it was something that I've seen before, is like, somebody dies and tries to get out of hell. Someone died. Like, I've read that story over and over again in DC Comics and other places. So when I saw it was like, okay. And then it was going at a snail's pace. But when I found out the outcome of the end of that arc that I didn't like that much, I mean, I still enjoyed it, but it was like a 3 out of 5. It just kicked up a notch. And this is where he was tortured in many deaths by the immortal enemy, and they reintroduced the immortal enemy, which I absolutely love. Really good story, is a 5 out of 5. Then we went to 4 out of 5s, which I usually go from bottom to top, but I went in inverse order here. I'll switch that around next time. I was reading a Epic Collection, and this is the DeFalco Franz Thor. I read Thor 388 through 397, and this is where Thor and them and crew versus Celtic gods. The Rainbow Bridge was destroyed, Celestials on a pirate planet. It introduced Quicksand in a like which is Sandman kind of, what, she's female, in a Daredevil arc with Daredevil. It had the Seth, the serpent god, who was throughout their arc as the villain. And it introduced another team called Earth Force. So that week there was a total of 11 comics. Not that much for me. I need to boost the numbers up. One Valiant and 10 Marvel. So because that was such a quiet week, I'm going to include another week. This is week for September 5th through September 11th. And there was a total of 22 comics, a little bit better distribution. We had 3 Valiant, 3 Ominous Press, 1 IDW, DC had 12, Dark Horse had 12, and Action Lab had 1. So we'll start at the bottom this time, and Kingsway West, Dark Horse, left me cold. I thought it had no characterization and introduced something like Red Gold, but didn't really explain like why people were after it. And it just, I like my characters to be introduced, and the two characters as the male and the female that were introduced, I just felt cold towards. Like it was real cold. I didn't enjoy it. So a 2 out of 5 means I didn't like it. Again, I use the Netflix rating. A 5 is I love it. A 4 is I really like it. A 3 is I like it. A 2 is I did not like it. And a 1 is I hated it. So I didn't care for it. Although I did complete the series, but I haven't read one since. That's going to take me a bit to get started on that again. Then we go to 3 out of 5s. And now that I think about it, I think I just really liked it because of the art, but the ominous press stuff didn't rock my world like I thought it would. I remember the stuff, Babes by Bart Sears and Wizard Magazine, Brutes and Babes, and they spawned a company back then, and these were like reprinting the stories in a new format, and I think it had new content in it, so like a little bit of new content plus the old stories. The old stories felt really, really confusing. At least for me. But these are 3 out of 5s. I read Legendary, It Begins. This was a new framing story, was good, but the older stuff was hard to understand. Even though I was concentrating on it. there was Legendary Infinity, number 1, which ties to the properties of Brutes and Babes. I like that one just slightly a little bit more. And then we got Ominous Press World Premiere, number 1. And this was samples of comic books that are still supposed to come out. When I talked to them, I think this was at Baltimore. Was either Baltimore or Heroes. It had samples of Giant Killers, Demigod, and Prometheus. And this looked a little more promising, but it was still hard to tell where they're going with it. So when they do solicit at previews, I'm going to cautiously try it. Let's see. 3 out of 5, Harlequin number 3. This is the finale of the alien zombie hot dog story, with Red Tool. He actually lost his arm because of Harlequin, and they actually attached a new villain arm. This is interesting because I'm all caught up with DC, and when I think about the scope of this first story arc of Harlequin. And now I realize they really didn't play up that arm, Like there's been horror movies, man, I can't think of that horror movie where there was, your standard character gets in an accident and they replace an appendage with a killer's arm or something like that, and then it starts affecting the way it, I thought they were going to do that with Red Tool, and now he's just kind of like a jealous guy that's dealing with the Joker, but that was a 3 out of 5. We had Nightwing number 4. This was up and down for me the whole series. Now that he's in Bloodhaven, I'm enjoying it a hell of a lot more. But this was where they free slaves from the Court of Owls. He goes back to Gotham, and Raptor is getting money from Cobra. So this is a time frame where you didn't know if Raptor was working for Cobra or he was doing the Court of Owls or if he was playing both sides. And later on, you find out he was playing both sides, but he had a motive that I won't get into right now. Then we jump to the 4 out of 5s. We have Birds of Prey number 91. This is Joseph Bull is dying. He's a gangster and needs a transplant. The Birds of Prey want him to leave, actually to live, even though he's dying. But there's a group of gangsters that want him dead. This is the tail end of Birds of Prey. I read this for, I think I read it for Retrocast, and it was one of the Birds of Prey issues that I was missing. And I've completed the run. So now I have all of the volumes of Birds of Prey. We had Batman Gotham Knights number 47. This is a fascinating run. I love Batman Gotham Knights, and this is the first time I read this story. This is Bane goes looking for his father, and he might be Kingsnake. And Leslie Tompkins actually helped him. This is when Bane was kind of a good guy, and at one point, Bane thought he was the brother of Bruce. And Leslie was consoling him and kind of told him he needs to go look for his father. And at the end of the story, you didn't know if that was Kingsnake. And Kingsnake was a pretty prominent villain in Robin, by Chuck Dixon. And then Tom King made him a bitch in one of his comics recently, where Batman took him out with one punch. Kind of sucked. We have Justice League number 4. This was the Kindred destroying the Earth. This story arc lasts a long time. Superman was at the core, the Lantern in space, and then I had a question mark. Did it tie actually into Cyborg? And at this time, I think just loosely. But this is when the Justice League was kind of feeling out Superman. The Superman that we all know, but the Superman they knew was dead. And they had to fight these godlike beings, the Kindred. Justice League started off with larger than life stories. It's kind of stayed that way. Here and then you'll get some personality fleshing out, but it's few and far between. There's still these really big stories. We have Suicide Squad Special War Crimes. This was a Jon Ostrander book, and they had to go rescue the Secretary of Defense, and it had the death of Mad Dog. I don't know if you remember Mad Dog, but they had him in the Suicide Squad as the character that dies, because that's what happened back in the day, and he died because Digger. I remember that he betrayed him just like he betrays everybody else. He's not very trustworthy. I really enjoyed that issue. We have Cyborg Rebirth number 1. It's a great origin story. The Silas backstory. You find out the recordings about him, about being more machine and that he's dangerous. That was his father talking to him on a recorder, and Cyborg finding out about it. We have Green Arrow number 6 as a 4 out of 5. We had Amico and Shadow story, both as double agents undercover, and they were fighting Oboyan. Oyoban, I don't know how to pronounce it. We have Blood and Dust, The Life and Undeath of Judge Glenny, or Judd Glenny. This was a Action Lab Danger Zone comic. I believe we talked about it in one of the Geek Brunch episodes. This was a grandpa vampire taking care of a daughter and kids in the swamp. Very unusual. Really enjoyed this. It feels really different, and it was very entertaining. We have Supergirl number 1. This is a rebirth that fell far for me. But it started off high. At least I felt it was. I felt the art in the earlier issues was stronger, and then it just got to be rushed. It's like the artist can't keep caught up. So he takes shortcuts and doesn't draw faces, and it looks sketchy, and it looks unfinished. But this is when I did enjoy it more, and it establishes herself as a teenager, going to school. I like how they played that up. They haven't done that since. She's been more focusing on her father, which is Cyborg Superman, and this was the first time that Cyborg Superman confronted her. And I also wrote a note that Ching's art was gorgeous. So early on, I really enjoyed the art, and then he kind of fell from grace for me, which I think he started off with a bang. 4 out of 5, Aquaman number 6. This was versus Superman in the military. Brad Walker was back on art, and Atlantis attacks to try. I think if I remember correctly, Atlantis attacked the land. And I can't remember if this is when Aquaman was imprisoned and they try to go free him. So 5 out of 5s, we have Exo Man of War 35 through 36. This is the War with Trill continues. This is amazing. I really enjoy this story arc. We also have Jim Thompson's The Killer Inside Me. This was amazing. I didn't know. I only bought this because I liked the cover. It was from IDW and really surprised me. He's a novelist. They adapted this to a comic book. It's very pulpy, but it's a serial killer sheriff in Texas is the premise. Really great. We had Wrath of Eternal Warrior 9 through 10. This is the final battle with the immortal enemy, which I really dug. We have Batman number 6, Gotham Girl Aftermath after losing her brother. This one I really liked. I can't remember though why I gave it a 5 out of 5 or if 6 was where I had a lot of problems with the ending. Maybe that was 7. For me, once we exited I Am Gotham story arc, I started to really take a downfall. The series I really didn't like I Am Suicide. Oh man, I have so many problems with that. I'll talk about them briefly. As you'll see, the rating of Batman go up and then down and then down and then up, and then it's weird all over the place for me. Superman number 6, one of my favorite comics. This was the finale with Eradicator. The moon base was destroyed. This was like Batman's moon base. We had the return of Krypto. The new Superman was finally welcomed to Earth, and Bibbo had an interview, so Bibbo's back in the limelight. But this is where Lois got into the bat suit and actually protected her son. Really great stuff. 5 out of 5, we had Briggs Land. This was my favorite, the top book of that week. This is a separatist story of a woman no longer helping her husband, who's r trying to run this like a supremacist group from jail, and she finally is separating, and she's trying to gather her sons. And I thought this was phenomenal. So that's all I have. I hope you enjoyed that I'm coming back with the weekly reads. And we'll talk to you soon. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. My Twitter is at Mike Myers Brunch. And Facebook, you can find it on Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like area there. You can follow all the episodes there on Facebook. And I look forward to hearing from you. Send me feedback and leave an iTunes review. We're really low on iTunes reviews on the Geek Brunch side and could use a lot more. I wish it was where the DC Noise reviews were, but I'd really appreciate it. And again, thanks for Donnie for sending me several books, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.